Sharp Tongue Podcast, everybody. It's Jesse May. I'm about to pour myself a little glass of wine. Let's see if I can get this situated. Hold on. Here we go. Oh, yeah.
Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse May Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty.
You might cry. You'll probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry.
I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. I talk about my dog sometimes. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me. We're here. We're doing it. It's a Sharp Tongue Podcast. It's Jesse May, and I'm here making it happen. How is everybody feeling on this lovely Tuesday? I'm going to be coming to you live. Thank you to Spokane for the amazing shows. We had such a good time with my brother Leo Flowers. We had a fun time. I'm going to be everywhere in February. Excuse me. I almost choked on my spit. I'll be in the hospital. Boston, Laugh Boston, the 7th, 8th, and 9th. Grand Valley State University, that's Allendale, Michigan, that's the 13th. I believe that's just for students, so I'm just humble bragging at this point that I have a show. I'm going to be in Asheville, North Carolina for one night only on Valentine's Night, day, eve, whatever. Everyone's going to break up. Asheville, North Carolina at the Funkatorium, one night only. I'm going to be in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. New Hampshire. That's February 21st and 22nd. Can't get my shit together today. Cisco Brewers. That's Portsmouth, New Hampshire, the 21st and 22nd. I'm going to be in Grand Rapids, Michigan at Dr. Grin's the 27th, 28th, and 29th of February. March, I'm coming to Miami. I'm coming to Key West. I'm going to be in White Plains. April, I'm going to be in Rochester. I'm going to be in Wittenberg, Ohio. Bunch of dates coming up. Should be on the website soon. You can go to laughboston.com for those tickets. Google Funkatorium, North Carolina to find me on Valentine's Day. One night only, two shows. Cisco Brewers, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, 21st and 22nd. Dr. Grin's Comedy Club. Dr. Grin's Comedy Club, February 27th, 28th, and 29th. Come see me live. Let's have a good time. You're going to learn something. You're going to feel something. You're going to laugh. You might feel a little pinky in your butt. I don't know. I don't know what the night's going to hold. You know, the night is young. The night is fun. So let's just all have a good time. JessieMay.com. Shout out to Absolute Extracts, our amazing show sponsors. They have been delightful in keeping me elevated. And speaking of getting elevated, besides ABX sending me amazing products, I'd like to give a big thank you to whoever shoved weed in my pocket and also gave me a giant jar of weed and a joint. Kayla, I see you in your nail salon in Spokane, Washington. I was going to say Wisconsin. Oh my God. Mommy needs a nap. But first wine, always wine. Man, I love a fucking glass of wine. I don't like to really get drunk unless it's somebody's baby shower. Other than that, I like to stay pretty sobes, but I do like to get high. So I guess these are conflicting statements, allegedly, but as far as alcohol goes, I don't like to get drunk. I don't like the hangover. I've got to be effective. I've got to be motivated, and I need to get shit done. So being hungover sucks. It sucks. It never was fun, but as an adult, it sucks because you have to actually do shit. You can't have excuses. As an adult, you got to get your shit done. But I do enjoy a nice glass of red and a couple puff puffs of my joint. That's my NyQuil, baby. That's how I go to sleep easy peasy. That's how I catch the ZZs. You know what I'm saying? Azizi. Azar. Azizi. I can't say his name. That's how I catch the Z's. Okay. A little wine, a little red wine, a little Rojo for your hoe, and a smoke of the blunties. I've been really enjoying that to help me go to sleep. Although last night I went to see Coldplay at the Palladium in LA. My cousin works for Atlantic Records, so she surprised me and brought me out. And I had two vodkas. Your girl was twisted this morning. Twisted. I woke up and had mac and cheese for breakfast. Two vodkas. I don't get down like that. I just don't. It's not my steez. But I could put a couple bottles of wine away. Array. Speaking of array, I'm drinking my favorite organic wine. I'm pretty sure it's just a wholesaler's that makes this, and then they package it differently for different stores. But it's called Our Daily Red. You guys know. If you listen, you know. It's a red blend. The shit's probably made in somebody's basement, but there's no sulfites. I don't get the headache. I've got some weird allergy now. You guys know about my wine allergy? Boring, bitch. Get to the podcast. Well, this podcast, again, features one of my favorite work husbands. We got together and podcasted a lot this past couple months, and we're scheming up some ideas together as well. And I know you're going to enjoy it because I enjoyed it. And we talked about all sorts of things, and I talked a lot of trash and made fun of his outfits and just did what we do when we hang out together at SiriusXM. I hope you enjoy another lovely swap cast from my work husband, my platonic life partner, the one and only from SiriusXM, from the Jason Ellis show, the wonderful, incomparable, I can't believe he's a dad, Mr. Mike Tully.
Your host of the evening is a really funny dude. I forgot his last name, but I've seen him before, and he's really funny. Give it up for Mike.
Coming to you live on tape from the penthouse of a partially completed commercial high-rise in glamorous Hollywood adjacent California. From the studios of SiriusXM West, boasting an obstructed view of one of LA's leading cement factories. This is The Tully Show. I am your host, Mike Tully. Joining me again today, the host of the Sharp Tongue podcast, upstate New York's gift to the world, the People's Champ. Hello and welcome back. And happy 2020, Jesse Mapaluso.
Upstate's gift to the world. You know what's funny is...
Is that Sam Tripoli would consider those fighting words?
Yeah. Sam Tripoli and I want to go on an upstate New York comedy tour, which I think we still will do. But
I think you ought to.
Yeah, I think we should too, especially because we're so different on stage that it would provide a little, you know, a nice combo package.
I think because everything has been done, we have such a super saturated... Good coffee?
Hot
coffee?
That was hot tea. I almost burned the fuck out of my...
Wake up. It's time to do radio.
God.
That's how we roll at SiriusXM. 175 degree tea.
Am I bleeding?
Burn your mouth and start being funny.
Am I bleeding?
No, I don't see anybody.
Okay.
I'm sorry for mocking you.
It's okay. I almost hit Wanda Sykes in the parking lot, so
oh, really?
I probably deserve it.
Yeah, she probably deserves it. In what manner did you almost assault her?
Her and Paige, her partner, were walking... Not like her life partner, her platonic work partner. They own Push It Productions. They were walking. They came around a corner and I was driving and I was like, oh shit. I mean, I said she didn't hear me, but we know each other and I just kind of waved. Yeah. And I was like, hey, sorry to almost run you over. It's not even like, you know, 9 a.m. yet.
Way too early in the day to be murdering Wanda Sykes.
Way too early to be murdering Wanda Sykes.
So here's what I was saying.
For
hello,
sure.
Hello and nice
hello,
to see you.
Tully. I want to tell you before we get going and I forget. I said last time that I'm the people's champ on this show, but people have told me that I'm also the people's champ out in the world. So I think I got upgraded.
That's really happened?
Yeah. Like six people said it.
That's a start. I always ask people, and I'll say it again now, people always ask how they can help with the show. They're always asking me if I download it like this or if I write to SiriusXM on Twitter. And the fact of the matter is nobody gives a rat shit about me around here.
They care, Tully.
But what does help, that listeners care, and that's what I'm getting at. The powers that be could give a shit, that's fine. The feeling's kind of mutual. If they're going to have to listen to the shot.
SiriusXM.
Do you know what? If I get in trouble for this, it'll be progress. But if people listen to this, just start following you on Twitter. What's your Twitter again?
Queefy May.
And where's your, what's your Instagram?
It's Jessie May Peluso.
And if you've listened to Jessie May on this show like 5 times now, you obviously love her unique and endearing comedy stylings. Don't passively follow her on social media. Actively follow her. Make it your business to say, does she have tour dates? Let me put it in my calendar when she's coming to town. If you can't make it, you can't make it. But if you can go, obviously you're going to enjoy her show. You love her here. She's America's sweetheart. She's the people's champion.
Fun fucking time.
And you're very approachable. And then go see her afterwards and say, if you want to know how to help me with the show, go up to Jessie May and say, I loved the show tonight. You're more beautiful in person than you've ever come across on the radio. And I am here because I heard you on the Tully Show.
You told me I looked adorable today. I mean, you didn't say that, but that's how I interpreted it.
I said adorable with my inside.
You said, I didn't know you had freckles. And I said,
I didn't know you had freckles. You look so great today.
That's what you said. You said, I look so great today.
I've never seen you look better.
I rested.
Mm-hmm.
I rested.
I love undercover freckles.
Yeah.
My wife has undercover freckles. I knew her for like 5 years before I realized she had freckles.
Asian freckles?
Just the tiniest little.
That sounds like what they call sprinkles.
You took the word right out of my mouth. It's like just tiny little cupcake sprinkles on like her nose and the insides of her, like the nose side of her cheek. It's so cute.
If you were like 10 years older, that'd be so weird and creepy. Like if you were like a mature man, you know, like in his late 50s, early 60s, and
delighting
you said
in
that.
Delighting in my wife's sprinkle freckles?
Yeah, and you're like cute Asian wife sprinkle freckles.
What's Asian got to do with it?
Wait, a lot.
I guess you're right.
A lot.
I know.
Can we talk about your shirt? What? Yeah. This is something you got for Christmas?
No, I've had my evil dad shirt. I think this advertises the world what I'm trying to throw out there.
It does fit your vibe for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's cute. It's cute.
Yes.
It's nerd on
it. You
have
to read me carefully.
Yeah. It's nerd on a like a real cult level. I respect it.
Do you know what I like about it is I never, the same as my Yolandi Visser shirt. She's the chicken Deantford. Are you familiar?
All those words you said sounded like Japanese to me.
They're I don't know how you say it. It's like Afrikaans. Like it's the South African dialect.
Right,
the
District
9 shit.
That makes sense.
They're the hip hop act from there and a lot of
District 9?
No, from the same area.
Okay.
Like, did you ever see Chappie?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't, but I saw the poster.
Right. So the guy who made District 9, his next movie was with Deantford because they're so a simpatico vibe. So it was a robot, and it was the guy and the chick from Deantford, and the chick has just got this very iconic thing about her. And I love that when I wear that shirt, a lot of people that I would expect to react to it, but it's amazing. People I would never guess would be on the Deantford or the Evil Dead.
Interesting. Yeah. Shirts can start and spark conversation. Like I did I went to this youth center, my friend's place, and
your friend runs a youth center?
No, it's called my friend's place. It's a youth center for homeless youth.
Uh-huh.
And actually,
facts of life shit here.
Yeah. Miley Cyrus donated money and resources to build a music room there, but that's you know just a little detail because she's a very generous person. I was there,
nothing if not a philanthropist, Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. I think philanthropy should be a part of your process if you are in the 1%. It should just be a given. If you have all that cash flowing,
yeah,
let's give a little bit back.
I think philanthropy shaming has become a thing.
Did I just shame someone?
No, but
is that what I just did?
I think that what you're saying is you're right in the zeitgeist. I think that enough 1%ers or 0.1%ers or 0.01%ers have taken that billionaire pledge, I'm going to give away all my money.
Yeah.
That it's kind of at that tipping point.
Right,
where it's not just like,
too much.
It's not just like, oh, you're cool that you're rich and you're doing that. It's more like, oh, you're rich and you're not doing that.
You're an asshole.
Yeah, I think we are getting there. You know what's next? Get ready for it. It's going to change everything.
What?
Flight shaming. Flight shaming.
We've already flight shamed.
No, but flight shaming is about to get real big. Like, I honestly flight shamed myself this week.
Wait, before we get into that, because I need to know what it is. I want to tell you about
Wait, were you saying that we're doing it and you don't know what it is?
Yeah, we're going to get into it.
I'm making lists this time. So you
make
lists. You got Miley. I'm already like two topics behind.
Yeah.
But flight shaming is where it's not cool to brag about how you're flying all over the world in jet setting
it's embarrassing that you're taking unnecessary flights when you consider the carbon implications, because you can throw away all your little, you know, no straw for me, please. I'm fine. I got one yesterday. No, I don't need a plastic bag. I've crocheted this little sack at home. I made my own kangaroo pouch that I wear on my body. I don't need a plastic bag. I'm saving the earth. See you guys later. I'm flying to Tahiti. You just undid every single one of your fucking straws and bags from here until eternity.
I want to see your kangaroo pouch.
I'm working on it.
I want to see it.
Not the craftiest guy.
You?
I'm an evil dad. I'm not a crafty one.
Okay, wait. So back to the evil dad shirt.
Okay.
I wore a shirt in the hopes of it engaging these kids, because I was like, in my mind, I don't know how I would communicate with homeless youth. I was a little nervous. I'd never been in a homeless shelter before or a center. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted like a icebreaker. And so I wore a Tupac shirt.
There's a time and a place for a fuck me stupid shirt.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
So I wore my Tupac, this really cool like shirt that my sister bought me for Christmas. Mm-hmm. I wore it there and every kid commented on it.
Oh, they liked it.
They loved it.
They didn't think you were trying to stand and deliver them?
No.
They didn't think you were trying to dangerous mind them?
No. Michelle Pfeiffer bitch giving me sneakers. I pulled this chair backwards and Coolio.
We all speak the universal language of hip hop.
Been spending most of my time living in gangster's paradise. That's my version of it.
Wow.
So wait, have you heard of Jennifer Yaniv?
Nope.
On the web?
Mm-mm.
I got deep into a rabbit hole on Twitter yesterday. You guys should look her up.
One spell Yaniv?
Yaniv. And it's a transgender individual who is accused of taking advantage of that fact and going after people and doing lawsuits against people because they aren't, you know, LGBTQ and they aren't woke enough.
Uh-huh.
And that's to your point. People are sort of going deep into that space of taking advantage of a movement for their own personal and financial gain, where they're causing lawsuits against businesses.
Yeah.
And she wanted to get her balls waxed. There's so much vernacular evolving that I feel like every time you say she, he, or whatever, someone's going to get offended. So this dude who's a woman has nuts.
Well, that cleared it right up.
He's got balls.
What's her name?
Jennifer Yaniv.
Just say Jennifer.
Jennifer. Thank you. Jennifer has balls.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to get...
Okay.
I guess she wanted to get her balls waxed.
Right.
It's a really interesting situation because...
Yeah, it's a real 2020 kind of news story.
Kept scrolling at all these people who are like in the community, the transgender and LGBTQ community, and going after her because they're saying that she's a bad omen or a bad seed for actual transgender people who are trying to get through society.
It's just about the worst enemy that community has, and a traitor in your midst is so much worse. You're well aware that there are evil forces out there, you know, evil rich brothers who like giving money to weird causes and stuff like that, you know, from behind their gilded gates. But
that was poetic.
Thank you,
Tully.
We both got some sleep last night, isn't it?
Jesus.
Great? You can have 1,000 people towing the line and doing the right thing, and all it takes is one bad apple to become the headline that runs on, well, they said blah, 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 but they just blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden you son of a bitch, you asshole, I'm assuming you're right about this Jennifer guy, become the face of the issue.
I almost spilled my hot tea.
Become the face of the issue for the opposition. It's such a fucking 100%
thing to do. And it goes along the lines of the tipping point, because a tipping point is both a negative and positive thing. I mean, in you know, a trend aspect, it's great when your video hits the tipping point, when your, you know, movement hits the tipping point, whatever, when you're whatever it is, you get more eyes on something, you sell stuff. But in this sense, it becomes a tipping point of society and the behavior of society.
We're all, I forget where I read this, you've probably seen the same kind
of cereal box
factoids floating around. I don't think I got this from Fruit Loops, but
great choice.
It's very easy, like once we settle our opinion, our position on something, it is incredibly hard to move us off of it. Every single person listening right now, assuming most people are at least mildly of one political stripe or the other, there's a thing that some guy or lady, but probably guy from the other side, strongly believes
right.
that you fucking hate.
Yeah.
That's fucking true, dude.
Yeah.
Both sides. This goes yep. for absolutely everybody.
Like, the thing you hate is true.
And when you are looking to hold on to your opinion, you will any shred that lets you hold on to that, you know, if you have some weird ingrained subconscious put in you when you were a kid bias against gay people, transgender people, whatever, it gives so much life to the virus
yeah.
of that bias
it
to
really
see
does.
The one story Oof. On Fox News or Breitbart that's like, well, they say they want blah blah blah, but yep. this girl's just blah blah blah.
That's why
it's
I think,
goddamn dangerous.
I did Jason Ellis's High and Dry podcast.
You did?
Yeah. And I told Ellis that I thought he was an important voice for that community because he embodies not your typical
right.
archetype, not your typical representation of someone who's bisexual or someone who's, you know, I don't know, as he just, to me, is an important voice in that community and for those people because he is such a unique individual and has lived on every side of the coin when you consider the addiction and mm-hmm. his history.
Well, right. And then
he breaks the mold
mm-hmm.
and probably has broken your butt.
Me
times.
Personally, we're not friends like that, but like
he
you
loves
know,
you.
The feeling is mutual, but you know the like when you have people are anti. I hate to. It's not about gay. It's about all kinds of things. But since we're on that subject, people are anti-gay, and then they have like a gay kid, and then all of a sudden they completely change their tune.
Right.
Jason's like behind enemy lines for a lot of people.
Yeah, he is.
So
and he's
be like surprise.
He's a man.
It's like, but wait, I like this guy. Therefore, yeah, for sure, for sure.
He's the type of dude that bros would be like, yeah, mm-hmm. fucking Jason Ellis. And Jason Ellis is like,
yeah. I can't
tell
you how many bros I have literally seen do that.
Right?
Yeah.
Are you fucking with me?
No.
Are you placating?
We had like 19 Ellis manias.
Yeah.
They're basically like, bro,
yeah.
Dave, bro.
Yo, fucking A, bro.
Sure.
God, bro.
Yeah, bring it in.
Fucking A. Fucking A.
That's my wife. I'm just like, bah.
Fuck her. Fuck my
she
wife.
She knows. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, what?
Bro, you're so hardcore. I want to fuck you right now. I think he's like so important.
Yeah, I agree.
He really, really is.
I agree. It's a fun time to see so many people freeing their minds.
It really is. How's the whole book thing going? Speaking of freeing your mind, I put the link on my podcast.
Did you?
Yeah, in the description.
Oh,
so peeps could just clink and buy.
It's going well. There was, I think I found out the day that I saw you last time, a couple of typos, and that was sort of troubling.
Oh, that's
me.
Right. We were
right. But I'm happy. I haven't heard any bad things about it. I've heard good things about it. I feel like it's good.
Yeah.
I honestly look at it more from the point of view of the work. Like, I really enjoy working. I really enjoy finding it's a very, very, very big project, and to see it through all the way to the end and then to go, yeah, that came out kind of the way I expected it to.
Right.
And that's something that happens, like, I think with stand-up, for example. Like, you in the beginning, you try so hard and you're like, you throw away so much shit and you refined it so much. You're like, well, this must be good. But then you look back at it a couple years later and you're like, I was still terrible.
Yeah.
Well, I thought the first book that I did was good. And then I look back at it and I'm like, I would have changed that. I would have changed that. Now, when I look back on this one in 10 years, I might feel the same way, but I am getting better.
That's evolution.
I feel like it's a good, solid piece of work. And I'm very happy that I didn't fuck it up. And
how long did you work on it?
It's hard to say because I always had to do it on the side in the shadows.
Right.
Mother
in between times and babies.
Most of last year, it was my primary focus when I wasn't doing my main job. So it was a lot. It was a lot. And there was weekends and nights and I got to go to bed. Let me just do 5 more pages kind of shit, you know.
Would you say for like someone who wants to write a book?
Mm-hmm.
How do you start? What's the first step?
Well, I just have my method. And I guess I don't know if there's other ways to do it. You just start dumping, or are you thinking of writing a book?
I have started a mm-hmm. process, but I'm interested in what your
right.
process was.
Well, you
was.
Don't start with, and this is the same as screenwriting, you don't start with like, there I was, standing in upstate
well,
New York.
I gotta go.
Counting my freckles.
I just have to go get to my laptop and delete some
you
stuff.
Just, you just.
Counting my fucking freckles.
You don't start. You don't start with page one. you just start dumping. I got to have this. I got to have this. And then you start kind of like, what's it? Plinko.
Right.
And you start going, well, this kind of goes in this silo and that kind of goes in that silo. And maybe you go there. Maybe it's a chronological silo. Maybe it's a thematic silo. And then you just it becomes sort of like doing a jigsaw puzzle. You get enough of the picture that you can kind of see the whole thing, and then you figure out what your beginning, middle, and end is. And
so
what
you just start.
What is your through line? It's starting is not hard. People make it much harder than
what's
it needs
the hardest
to
part of it for you? Now that you're on the other end of it, you finished it. What was the hardest part of?
Oh, just the boring. The boring shit is the when you have to go
technicalities.
Through
technicalities,
and I'm using that word redundantly, and I gotta I'm cleaning up typos and shit like
yeah.
that. Just start dumping it all out. That's the fun part is in the very beginning of it and the like. I want to say the very end, like when you're done.
Yeah.
The best part is when
when
you're done.
Fucking finish.
And then I just get itchy to just start working on another big project.
You get itchy? You know?
Metaphorically itchy.
Okay, I was gonna say
I have so many things I want to do. If I could just divide myself in like three people, there's just I've. For every project I finish, there's three more I'm interested in.
Yeah, I'm the same way, and I was just talking about that.
And then I wake up in the middle of the night freaked out about all the things that I'm not doing because
same.
Because what I'm trying to do is not humanly possible
right.
for me to do. I saw some quote yesterday or the day before from John Wooten, who's this big inspirational basketball coach, coached UCLA in the 60s. They won like 30 years in a row or
That's
something.
That's weird. My first boyfriend was Randall Wooten.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe they were related.
Was he
inspirational?
He was very inspirational.
Did he teach you anything about the post-up game?
No, he taught me a lot about deep jazz.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How deep are we talking here?
Bunghole deep.
Like the stuff where it's like you're not even sure
Keith
if they're still
Jarrett
making music?
Shit.
I don't even know who that is.
Exactly. That's some deep. Mm-hmm. Keith Jarrett is, anybody who likes jazz, if they like Keith Jarrett, they're going to be like, yeah, that's deep. That's like in the anal cavity inside.
Right. Don't date that guy. Did he play jazz or did he just put vinyl on and go, Jesse, shh, 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 shh.
He never shushed me. First of all, no man I've ever
Wait, hold on. Just he's about to do the thing. Nobody did that farting noise before Keith Jarrett.
He actually... Yeah. So you know Keith Jarrett.
I think I can probably guess.
That's what he does. And while he plays, Keith Jarrett goes... It's really annoying.
Oh, so that's
annoying.
Not an instrumental noise?
That's his... it must be coming... I think he conjures it in his taint and it escapes from his mouth. But I'm pretty sure it's a taint-based noise.
Keith Jarrett's catchphrase was...
But I'm still friends with Randall. He's actually in the touring Blue Man group. He's a percussionist. He's an amazing musician.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. He was a self-taught drummer. He was playing like... what was that band with a huge, huge drum set? You're a musician back in...
Rush?
Yes.
Guy just passed away this week.
He did?
Yeah, Neil Peart.
Neil Peart. Yeah. I mean, he was very influential in the percussion industry.
Very influential in the Blue Man group industry.
But back to Wooten, Richard Wooten.
Yeah.
Who's your
just
guy?
Just John Wooten that like, if you I'm going to paraphrase, I copied it for myself, but like, if you just go to sleep at night knowing that you've tried as hard as you can, as smart as you can, you just have to live with the results.
Do you?
And for the most part, no, I don't.
I wish it were that easy.
Every time a baby asks for a bottle at 3 o'clock in the morning, she goes back to sleep and I just sit there going, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
What the fuck? What are you doing?
You ever wake up in the middle of the night? I know you just said this before, but you panic about all the things you need to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I've looked it up, like what that really is.
Obsessive compulsive.
I guess so.
It's just like
you let your guard down. You know, it's I think there's an overarching issue that I have with life. I think the same reason why I wake up.
Just in general?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What?
But a lot of my different issues or quirks or whatever are all kind of interrelated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I don't smoke weed because when I do, I've noticed that there's lots of like bad thoughts that I have that have like, they don't occur to me out of nowhere. It's more like they've been hiding in the shadows of my mind. And when I get high, it's like, oh, right. You know, that thing that you don't really think about.
Yeah.
You should be more freaked out about that.
It has
really,
a way of
really,
unleashing some
really
trauma.
Think about that. And it's not. And yes. And I know that you don't mean it like this, but I want to be clear. I don't mean demons at my, you know, like PTSD or, you know, like, hey, man, you were in Afghanistan. Don't forget the shit you did there.
Were you? Jesus.
No, I wasn't. Like little.
You get more badass every time I come in here.
I rock.
You kill. Rock. You kill.
little marginal shit, you know? And then I think it's the same thing that in the middle of the night, I'm beginning to realize that I keep myself busy enough during the day that I keep shit at bay.
Yeah.
And I'm just whack-a-moling as many things as I can.
Yes.
But in whack-a-moling as many things as I can, I'm allowing myself to not think about the things that I cannot whack-a-mole.
Yes.
And I think weed in the middle of the night are when my guard goes down.
Well, I would offer a opinion on that,
mm-hmm,
because
please.
I am in that same realm, mind-wise, mindset. It quiets things. And my boyfriend made a really good point the other
Sleeping
day.
Sleeping quiets things,
weed quiets things. And when things are quiet, your brain creates problems because it's always trying to solve something.
Yeah.
And it also, when it's quiet, your brain goes, oh, like you said, hey, this thing that you haven't dealt with, let me just pull out this drawer and open up these six folders about the thing that happened to you when you were five.
Right.
And let's just sit here for an hour and think about it.
Right.
And, you know, my boyfriend said, he goes, I've never met somebody like you who's so comfortable in chaos. It's the quiet that freaks you out.
Yeah, I've known people like you. You tend to get one or the other.
Yeah.
The example that I always use, and I'm probably way off here, is there's this guy, Travis Pastrana. He's a very, very famous
sandwich
X Games athlete.
Oh, okay.
He's one of the greatest like moto riders of
I love a Pastrana sandwich.
Of ever. I've always been more of a corned beef guy personally. What?
Such a dad witch.
They're the fucking
evil
same.
Evil dad witch.
They're the same thing.
No, it's not.
They're virtually the same.
Everybody will settle this debate.
I don't need my
corned beef versus Pastrana.
Yeah, I know which one the world prefers, and the world is wrong. I don't like smoky.
The world is wrong.
I don't like smoky shit. I don't like smoked fish. I don't like smoked cheese.
I don't either. It's gross. I don't
like. That's isn't pastrami smoked? I think that's the difference.
Why don't we smoke it with marijuana? It might be better.
Yeah.
The world is wrong should be your next book title.
I don't think we need to combine. I got you. I don't think we need to combine food and weed anymore. We've already overdone it.
Have we? Have you been to Lowell Cafe?
I don't need to.
I want to break you of this marijuana fear.
I don't want to. It's
not. Wait, you don't eat the weed. You can eat the weed.
I don't want to do that.
At Lowell Cafe.
I don't want to do that.
Will you let me finish my sentence?
I love nachos and I love a good pale ale.
I love nachos. I love a good pale ale.
You know what I don't need is nachos doused in pale ale.
No.
I'm pretty busy, but I've got enough time to consume them separately.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's like white trash. Snack. I'm saying at Lowell Farms, you can either combine the weed and the food, or they have a cannabis waitress that comes out, they take your cannabis order, and then they have a very delicious menu that they have prepared by a very amazing culinary chef, like a chef.
Yeah.
This woman is like one of the most successful marijuana chefs there are, but she's also just a regular
crowded
chef.
Field.
It is a crowded field.
Yeah.
But the food there is delicious.
That's great.
You don't have to be high to enjoy it.
I'm in favor of that place. I think there should be many more like them.
Why don't we go together? Why don't we do like a non-work
you want to be friends?
Friendship date.
Uh-huh.
Where I'll get high and then you can
high.
Eat the food and you'll see that it's not the marijuana dictating the quality of the food. And
I'll go
shove a grilled cheese in my face.
I'd like to go.
Okay.
Yeah. Somebody gave me a weed product that's like a syrup. That they said it can't mess you up, like you just can't get weird on it. And
also,
as I'm sure I've mentioned to you before, I bought some actual marijuana bud at a dispensary across the street, and that lady swore that shit wouldn't
People
fuck
are
me
lying
up.
To you.
Well, I'm going to test it. My wife and children are going to be on a different continent for 3 weeks, and that's my time.
Oh, yeah.
That's my time to experiment. I have
She's
so going to
go home and visit mom?
Yeah, I have so much shit that I have to do, but I'm going to set aside a night or two because I don't want them to be within 1,000 miles of me if it goes wrong.
Nothing's going to happen.
But if it goes right, then I can just start doing that when they get back because I'm using, like, drugs because pussy – like, I'm using man
Jesus,
drugs.
You're really unraveling
I'm using
this episode.
Man drugs because pussy drugs don't work for me.
What does that mean? You're like Tylenol is a pussy drug?
No, weed is a pussy drug that I can't handle. So I have to
it's a pussy drug in the sense that in the realm of the like the drug
nobody ever
industry.
Threw away their life because of marijuana. There's a reason why it's on the, well on the way to
normalization
federal legalization. And legalization.
Yeah.
And since it doesn't work for me, I have to take drugs that do wreck people's lives.
Would you
and just hope that they don't wreck mine.
That's a great movie script idea. The wife goes away.
Mm-hmm. And I get into hard drugs.
And you just, like, you're, for whatever the catalyst is, mm-hmm. you get into hard drugs for 3 weeks and she comes back. And whatever that thing is, that's the thing. That's so, so.
Junkie dad.
Yeah. Evil dad. You could just call it evil dad.
Soccer junkie.
Evil dad. Uh-huh. Come on.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
That's the one thing I finally freed myself from. I don't get upset anymore that I'm not writing movie scripts. I just couldn't crack that. I could not crack that particular chestnut.
I'm just starting. I'm like going to be going draft one. I just finished a treatment and mm-hmm. I have a meeting tomorrow with the movie house to start a script.
That's really
exciting.
And
I'm terrified.
Really?
Yeah.
Can I help?
I would love it.
I would love to help.
Yeah, especially with comedic
just like that,
moments.
I'm back in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. You can totally come in the
writer's
room.
Because I really feel like I, maybe I'm insane. I've tried to write movies
that's for sure.
by myself, and I'm not saying I can't do it. I have friends who do it. I'm sure if you put a gun to my head, I could figure out a way to crack it. It's something.
Hold on, let me look at my bag.
Radio has.
I got something in here.
Radio has come to me relatively easily. Music, because as I mentioned last time, I do rock, came to me fairly easily. There's other things like stand-up I'm not natural at, but I know if I devoted myself to stand-up, I could
There's something appealing about you.
I could get pretty good at stand-up. Movie writing is just not something. I would have to work incredibly hard to get good at it. But I also feel like you could put me in the room with really, really like people who know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I could make some suggestions that they'd be like, dude, thanks a lot. Very good idea.
Yeah.
I know I can't write movies. I know I can help write movies.
I think that's a great skill to have. And yeah. I feel the same way. Like, there's no way I could sit alone and write this script. I did the treatment.
I have a friend who does it. It's
There's
terrible.
No way I could.
It's horrible.
It sounds like some shit.
He's
like,
miserable. Craig, if you're listening, get out.
Craig, open a window, bro. Water the fern. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like something that, like, one of those classic authors would do and just drive themselves insane, like a Bukowski or like, you know, someone like, I don't know. Who
Bukowski,
else is it?
Interesting. I'm sorry to interrupt your
yeah,
train
no,
of thought,
no.
but I have these little reminder inspirational things I have on a loop on my laptop.
Yeah.
Bukowski says, what is it? Writing is hard. Typing is easy. Writing is a pain in the ass. I don't write. I just type.
Interesting.
Which is great if you can be Charles Bukowski. But
I've tried
typing and it
but
sucks.
But it also goes back to the point of view about writing the book. You just type. Just start.
Yeah.
Like that's, you know.
Well, it's easier when somebody else is giving you the story.
Yeah.
I'm good at that.
Yeah. Like a little secretary? You just sit at a desk and type?
A little sexy stenographer?
Do you have... I just pictured you with a cardigan with the button only buttoned at the top with like a cicada, like a nice button, like a nice cicada brooch.
Let me read that back to you, Mr. Jericho.
Oh, God. You're the court stenographer for Jason Ellis's trial.
Yeah. It's a skill in and of itself, but it's not the hard part.
No, the hard part is the talent and the drive to get it done. But yeah.
Well, having the fucking story is the hard part.
I think you can make...
If you give me the raw shit of Star Wars, I could probably arrange it in a way that makes some sort of logical sense, but...
It'd probably be terrible.
But coming up... Thank you. But coming up with...
No, it was a question. I wasn't telling you. I said it'd probably be terrible. Like, I went up at the end. That was a question.
No, I mean, if you say, well, there's going to be like this bad guy, but it turns out he's like his dad. Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Star Wars and...
What?
And you know, he's...
I gotta go.
He's from like this desert planet, but they end up like on this like huge star planet thing. Like, I can probably go, oh, well, maybe they should find him on the desert star and tell him he's a Jedi.
Oh,
and then he's,
yeah.
You know, like I'm saying, like when you...
But it's
when
easy
you do,
when you know the story, Tully.
It's easier if you tell me the raw bits for me to arrange it in a way that makes logical story sense. Particularly movies. Movies are fucking crazy. I don't think most people realize, I'm going to keep hammering this point home until it's no longer true, or everybody stops listening, that movies follow such a fucking formula. It is so crazy. I feel
save
like
the cat.
I feel like you save the cat. Exactly.
It's a,
everybody should
it's
read,
a formula.
Everybody should read Save the Cat, even if you have no interest in writing screenplays.
It makes you appreciate movies for the technicality aspect, and you can follow them and understand the story beats.
And just that the thing that I think most people find very satisfying about it is you already know. I'm talking to everybody listening to this. You already know every beat.
Yes.
That every movie you've seen,
you didn't realize it.
Follows, you just don't know it.
Yep.
Right.
I always look, I'm always like, what's going to happen in 10 or 12 minutes?
Right.
Or when it starts, mm-hmm. I'm always like, and now I'm like, what's the thing?
The brush with death.
Yep.
Like, it's crazy.
What's the catalyst? What's the change?
What's the save the cat moment?
Yep, what's the save the cat moment? And it's once you read it, you can almost, you know the mm-hmm. line in the script. You're like, yeah. that's the save the cat moment.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, right. I think it's fun to learn that stuff. And I feel like most people, for example, sort of are aware of like how songs work, for example.
Yeah.
If I say, hey, you know the chorus of Hey Jude.
Right.
People know what the chorus is.
Hey Jude.
Probably that part. movies are, if anything, more formulaic than pop songs
are. Do you love movies?
I would say that I do, although I don't really watch.
Do you not go out to them?
I would love to.
But you're busy.
But I don't. It cost me money to leave my house. Yeah. I brought my baby to the new Star Wars. I put up a Twitter poll and it was
you
like.
You fucking asshole.
That was about 35% of the
That's
people.
That's it?
Yeah.
Well, the other 65% have done it. And they're, you guys are assholes.
Star Wars, the new one. Okay, let me explain. I don't
explain yourself.
I'm not
Lucy.
Defending myself. I'll just let you. Maybe I'm wrong. It was always my plan to let my wife and my son go see it together. It came out. We were in Europe, and so it was actually playing around the corner from us in France. But it was playing in French. My son's French. He's a beautiful kid. His French is fucking horrible.
Oh, I thought you said your son's French. I'm like, shit. You're just picking up kids all over the world. You got your wife in Japan. You got your son in France.
I love Jean-Luc as much as any of my other children.
Jean-Luc.
So he loved Star Wars. He was excited. It came out when we were gone. My plan was always you two go see it the Sunday after we get back. We get back on a Saturday, and then the next Monday, the next day, I'll go out after we put the kids to bed. And you guys just can't spoil anything for me until I go see it. And when it came down to it, I thought they'd go to a 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. It was like a 9:15 a.m. showing of Star Wars. And the movie's been out for like 2 or 3 weeks at this point.
Jesus.
So my wife is just like, we're all up. We're all jet lagged. She's just like, why don't you just bring the baby?
What? It's a terrible wife.
So I put up.
Smart, though.
I put up a Twitter poll, and 2/3 of the people almost said that it was okay. And a lot
I guess it's okay because of time.
And a lot of, I think that's everything.
Yep.
It's a Sunday
it's
morning.
The time.
The movie's not.
Go ahead.
And I wouldn't have done it opening weekend of Star Wars where even Sunday morning might be the first
time
you could get a
ticket.
You're right. This
is an exception.
Everybody's had a chance to see this. And a lot of the blowback that I got, even from the 30 to 40%, seemed to be, you're that asshole who's going to let your baby cry in the theater. And like, hell no. She makes noise for more than a couple seconds.
Wait,
like,
you punch her?
She's fucking done for. We're just making a new baby. So, like, she did. At a certain point, nobody was sitting anywhere near us. So when she's crawling around in chairs, and then I bought the commemorative popcorn tin, which is made out of, like, tin or something.
You shut her in it?
She just kept putting it over her head. It was fucking hilarious. And just, like, smearing popcorn grease in a 360 degrees around her head. It was so cute. And it would have been distracting had there been people sitting, like, right next to us. But nobody was within, like, three rows of us. And she did cry at a certain point, and I took her outside until she fell asleep, and then I brought her in, and she slept to the end
That's
of the movie.
That's okay. That 9:30 is fine.
At 9:30, she did
That's
make
fine.
Those for a couple
I
seconds.
I take it back.
And I feel bad for those people, because even that is too much.
But
I agree.
They're fucking, you know what? You're all fucking assholes for getting up at 9:30 to go see a movie.
I agree. So yes, I do love movies. I just don't, I haven't seen everything everybody else has seen, because I always, like, the last movie I was watching was The Road to Utopia, starring Bob Hope and Bing Crosby.
What?
Yeah.
As you sip out of your Yeti, is that an old movie?
Yes.
Bing Crosby hasn't been around
Bob
for
Bob Hope's not working
decades.
Much anymore.
Bob Hope, he's a little stinky these days.
Yeah.
I saw, why did you see that movie, first of all?
Something about when I take man drugs that I.
What drug did you take?
Kratom.
Who?
Kratom.
What the fuck is that?
It
sounds like a crayon you melt in the microwave.
They need to rebrand it because the name is not going
Kratom?
Anywhere. I imagine it's really pronounced Kratom.
Oh, fuck.
Suppose it's legal for now heroin. Vicodin.
What?
Yeah.
When did you hurt yourself that you got Vicodin?
No, it's legal.
It's from where?
From, you can buy it in head shops.
That doesn't sound legal.
It is for now.
Kratom?
They're working on it. You can buy it in a head shop.
What in what capacity does it come? Pill,
it's
liquid?
A pill. It's like
a white pill, like a solid white pill?
No. It's got a capsule.
A capsule, okay, so it's granulated.
It's got the dust in there. It's almost like eating like weed shake.
What, and what's
in a
the what is the property of it?
What do you mean by property?
Like
what does it do?
Is it a suppressant? Is it a
It's an opiate.
Stimulant? It's okay, so it is an opiate.
But it has like a stimulant thing to it too. It's great. It's like taking a pill and doing a couple bumps.
And is that healthy for you?
I mean, so far, so good.
It sounds like a very bad drug. Well, opiates, I don't know if you've heard, aren't doing so well for the
I don't know if you
people.
Heard me 8 minutes ago when I was saying I wish I could just do the pussy legal drugs, but I like them, but they don't like me. This is a drug that I found that on a Saturday night.
What does it do?
I can have a beer. You've never taken a Vicodin.
No, I have honestly, and this is the God's honest truth, mm-hmm. I have smoked like maybe 2 menthol cigarettes mm-hmm. and weed
yeah.
and alcohol. Yes. I haven't
you just
done.
You just took like
anything
like
else.
9 minutes off your life, you know, and you just have to live with that.
Really?
With menthols, I don't know. That's what they always said. It's every cigarette is X minutes.
Oh God.
So
I've never, you know.
I have a couple beers and we make a nice meal at home, and for maybe a half an hour, I'm like, man, things are pretty good when you think about it. And
then what?
And then it kind of wears off and I get tired and I stop drinking and I go to bed. But for some weird reason, it slows down my brain enough that most of the time I'm like, oh, I should just, you know, keep watching whatever Netflix series I'm watching. And for some reason, after my big night of having like 3 beers and a scotch and 2 little pills of Kratom.
Jesus, you are Bukowski.
I go, let me look through the library of what's currently available on Turner Classic Movies and pick one. I like old movies.
Yeah, it sounds like you like old movies.
They made a series of road pictures, is what they're called. It's like the Road to Morocco and the Road to and it's Bob Hope, Bing Crosby, and Dorothy L'Amour. And they're these very broad comedies where they're like breaking the fourth wall and talking to
what?
Yeah. Bob Hope broke the fourth wall all the fucking time.
Why did I not know that?
Way ahead of his time.
Whoa.
Super.
In the movies?
Yeah.
Super, and now I gotta watch.
Super Jim Carrey E.
Wait a minute. We can't blow over the opioids here.
Okay.
What if I told you mm-hmm. I could help you find a marijuana strain?
Yeah. Get in line.
Really?
I will try it when my wife and children are on the other side of the globe.
Okay.
I've already got 2, but
okay.
I welcome you can give me 3.
I'm going to give you a little combination.
I tried microdosing. I didn't care for it.
What about microdosing psilocybin?
Is that the mushroom thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's what I did. I didn't really like it.
Why?
It made me feel a little sketchy when I was doing it. And it made me feel
paranoid,
just not quite right in my skin. It didn't make me feel better. It made me feel worse. And then the next day, I kind of felt like a little bit of a
hangover.
I'm still not right from the day before. And then the third day, I would feel like myself again. But then it was the fourth day. It was time to take the mushrooms again. And I was like, I don't like the way I feel 2 out of 3 days. And the only day that I like is when it's been 2 days since I took the shit.
It could be the strain in the milligram.
Maybe.
It's a very...
I say this as somebody who loved mushrooms. Not that I would have done them a bunch had I been able to get my hands on them a bunch. But
right.
The handful of times that I got them that they were legitimate mushrooms, it's the greatest drug experiences I ever had. So I had a very, very, when I heard about it, because I think a lot of times our attitude towards experiences dictates, particularly for myself, the way that they turn out.
Yeah.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. When I heard of microdosing, I was like, I'm going to seek that out. I'm going to try that because that sounds like that would work for me. I went into it with a great attitude and it just, I don't really care for it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You might need to do a clinical study where they lock you in a room for a month and just.
Don't we all? I mean, don't we all?
Yeah. It would be kind of nice. I would like to do a sleep study where somebody just studies me when I sleep and tell me.
Yeah.
What my problems are.
I did one of those.
You did?
Well, they only tell you what your sleep problems are.
So what was your sleep problem that you wake up and try and get your...
They told me I didn't have one.
Really?
Because I snore.
You're just fucking fine?
I snore and my nose is sideways and...
What do you mean your nose is sideways?
I don't know.
Oh, it is a little sideways.
Yeah. I got punched one time when I was a kid and I think that's the only thing I can think of.
What?
I don't remember it even hurting.
And they came this way.
Must have. First time he hit me, I thought he was joking. And then I was like, ha ha. And I was like, oh, wait, you really hate me. And then he hit me again, and then somebody pulled him off me.
How old were you?
16.
You think that's what the thing that drove you to rock?
I was already rocking before that. I think it was my rock and roll attitude that rubbed this straight-laced...
Oh, my God.
Mama's boy the wrong way.
You are not... You look straight-laced, but every time I come on the show, I learn just how destroyed you are.
I'm not destroyed.
You're a little... Well,
I need to take.
You just told me you drank scotch and took opioids before bed every night.
I did not say I do that.
I added that for dramatic prose.
It is very, very rare. There's maybe like 1 or 2 times per year that I would be like, whoa, I'm like drunk.
I don't like getting drunk anymore.
It's there's like I was at my friend's wedding and just sort of as the night went on, I was like, oh, this is going to be this kind of thing. And my wife is off like chain smoking. And I'm like, oh, we're rocking here. Holy fucking shit. And that was great. Like when it was fun to be drunk that night because everything was lined up for us to have
right.
fun. For me to just be at my house and be like, whoa, you know, what was in that? I how many of these have I had? Oh shit, I'm fucked up and now my head hurts and I know I'm gonna snore really bad and
right.
my baby's gonna wake me up in 5 hours. Like,
that's the
worst.
I don't
need that. That's the thing. I need my partying to fit into like a real neat
package.
Neat package at a time, and I find these pills are just sort of like, woohoo, I'm rocking and rolling. Okay, is it time to bed now?
I see.
Yeah.
I'm just worried about the convenience of it all. Seems a little too good to be true. Something sounds too good to be true.
It always is.
If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, the baby's the problem.
Yeah. That's how I'm living. I want to talk to you about...
Oh, we're going to talk about things that you want to talk about for once. Okay. Go ahead.
No, we're not going to talk about the thing that I wanted to talk to you about today was the thing I wanted to talk to you about last time, and I've given
the
up
decades.
On that. You got your you've got your Miley Cyrus thing out.
What
was that? Was that your point that you wore a Tupac shirt?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's where that was going.
Yeah, it was connected with the. It made me feel good that my T-shirt choice opened mm-hmm. up the conversation like I thought it would to these kids who are, you know, fucking homeless. These kids yeah. are 16, 17 years old, and they're homeless because they either have a mental illness issue, they're homosexual, and their family doesn't agree with that. Whatever the issue is, these kids don't have a place to sleep at night.
It's just ridiculous.
It's heartbreaking.
And shame on all of us.
Yeah, really shame on all of us.
But what we all throw away, even the you know, least well-off among us, what we all throw away and that are people... desperately need.
Yeah, and these kids come in and they're these secondhand clothes that they're grabbing like they're brand new. And to see, like, you know, them be their day be turned around and them getting new hope because of a hoodie or a pair of sneakers that somebody didn't want and donated to them. It was just was like, there were four times where I wanted to just bawl my eyes out because it could be any one of us. It could be anyone. It could be, yep. you know, someone's kid that you know. It's just...
Of course, there, but for the grace of God, go we.
Yeah.
You mentioned something about 40 minutes ago. I don't remember what, but I want to bring this up. You said that I was creepy because...
Yeah, you're creepy.
My wife is a sprinkly Asian.
Yeah, yeah. I mean...
I just saw a thing on... Well, go ahead.
No, it's just... I mean, that wasn't verbatim, but we'll stick with it. You just called your wife a sprinkly Asian. I'm pretty sure that's a slur.
I'm pretty sure I'm saying what you said.
Okay.
Well. So maybe you need to grow up. I saw a thing on Reddit the other day where some guy was saying.
You fucking asshole.
Everybody keeps calling me that. Why is that?
Because you're rocking more. You're true. You're
See, this is what I need. This is what I really, really need. Because I used
true
to rock.
Colors.
I used to rock really, really hard. And this is, I saw a shaman and he told me this. And
oh,
it's fucking
fuck a shaman now?
Yeah. You don't know about my shaman?
I have this vision that you're going to turn into Jason Ellis, and Ellis is going to, you guys are going to morph across
oh, really?
Each other. We'll
just high five when we pass each other.
And he's going to become this. His tattoos are going
to
disappear.
To a glory hole. He's on his way to Barnes & Noble.
He's on his way to breastfeed, and you're on your way to a glory hole.
No, this guy said that I used to rock, and then at a certain point, I needed to get responsible, so I kind of got responsible.
Oh, fuck that.
But that I had, when I, obviously, there is a level of responsibility that is necessary in my
oh,
life.
Okay.
But he basically, his point was, you can be responsible, buddy. But you gotta rock.
You gotta fucking rock.
Gotta fucking rock. And I feel like it's kind of working. Like, I feel like he put something in me where I am, like, loosening up a little. I do need to rock.
His dick in your butt.
He didn't put his dick in my
butt. He put his dick in your butt.
It's not about
it's
that.
It's still in there.
Our session had been over for minutes when he did that.
Wait, there was a point before all this.
Yeah.
This is our problem. You wanted to say something.
No, I know exactly what it is.
What is it?
That
your sprinkly Asian wife.
A guy on Reddit was
right.
saying that there's extenuating circumstances, but to cut to the core of it, his wife went to a family member's house and got some mementos of her youth. And one of those things was a picture of her as a teenager, and mm-hmm. she shows it to him, and they're like in their 30s or whatever, photo of 16-year-old her. And he's just like, oh, you were hot. And she got creeped out that he was attracted to a teenager.
Well,
what do you think about that?
The problem, on one hand, is teenagers are fertile. And historically, and if you look at evolution, mm-hmm. they're supposed to be attractive.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird conundrum, but...
Are you trying to throw your career down the toilet?
No.
Right, of course you're right. Of course you're right.
You know, yep. It's the core of all marketing. It's the mm-hmm. It's just the thing that sort of drives most ships.
If there's grass on the field.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's totally gross and illegal and harmful to act on that. And if you think it, it's indicative of something deeper.
So but you're I think this chick.
I think this guy was just one of two things. Thinks teenagers are hot, which is weird, or thought his wife was hot as a teenager, which is understandable. And
but what's the difference?
Well, I'll tell you my the difference is that the intent and the emotion behind that. He's with his wife. He's like, yeah, you were hot. That's his wife.
Right.
It's not a 16-year-old standing in front of them. It's a memory. It's a you know, it's a moment that's passed a long time ago. But my initial reaction would have been, oh, what, I'm not fucking hot now? You know, like you were hot.
Why would you choose to take it that way?
Well.
You were hot to me. That's one way of interpreting that statement. Another way of interpreting it is, wow, you have always been hot. Look
yes.
at you. Even back then, you were so cute.
He didn't say that.
And he though. He did without.
You were was the indicative word. And it's my own projection of my insecurity living in a society where youth is king.
Yeah.
Especially as a woman, you guys get old and you become distinguished. We get old and we become witches. It's just a part of the process.
Right. Right. Men get old and they become handsome.
Yeah, you guys
women
get old.
Women get old and they become handsome.
It's a good joke, Tully.
I just thought
you
of that.
You should keep
I
it here,
think.
Though. No, it's a good joke.
It's not bad, right?
It's not bad.
I'll use that to insult my older audiences.
You should.
Yeah. I got to get back to doing stand-up. That's the thing that's getting me up at 3 in the morning. I haven't been on stage in months.
Well... Brother,
yeah.
You got to get out there if you want to put that accolade before your name.
I don't claim
author.
It.
You don't.
I mean, I don't go around telling people I'm a.
Oh, that's good.
I tend to say I either do a little stand up or I've done a little stand up. I've
that's
never
good.
Described myself because
I'm
not
self aware. You're very self aware.
Maybe overly so. I don't think I'm underly so.
Maybe middly so.
Hopefully properly so. That's what I'm aiming for.
Maybe not fully so.
Uh oh. No, there's no comparison when you do it every night. That's the way
nothing
that
compares. Nothing.
Sorry, one more
compares
thing.
Compares to you.
Portionade, huh?
Portionade.
Oh, wow.
Remember when she? You know what?
What?
Can we just have a? Can we? Yes. We can we have a TBT moment?
45 seconds.
Okay. We thought Sinead was fucking crazy for tearing a photo of the Pope.
Right.
Boy, were we. Wrong.
Right.
We wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So wrong. She just was ahead of her time.
Right.
She came out impassioned in a buzz cut. You know, I blame the buzz cut. If she had like flowy hair or it matched society's idea of what a woman should look like.
Yeah.
She could have ripped the photo. They just would have chopped it up to menstrual angst.
I definitely think it was then and remains today much harder for a woman to thread the needle of expressing anger, outrage, what have you, any kind of negative emotion or a negative opinion. It's very, very hard for a woman to thread the needle in a way where you can't turn around and say, well, she's crazy or
she's emotional.
Of course, there's men who get nailed for being bad messengers when they have a good message.
Excuse me.
I want you to be you.
To the point, we were so wrong. She was so right. So maybe we shouldn't be so judgmental when people have a hot moment. Maybe, you know, it's a little Nosferatu. Or not Nosferatu. Who's the guy who...
No, it's Nosferatu. You're at
Nostradamus. Nostradamus moment. At Queefy May, Jesse May Peluso, Sharp Tongue Podcast, Live Your Truth, Don't Be Assholes. Evil Dad 2020.